Turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Today is January the 5th, 2020. It's amazing how the time passes. I was born in 1951. And I remember the 50s very well. I remember the 60s even better. I don't know if I remember the 70s. That was when I had long hair and wasn't saved until 1974. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 5. Paul writing from Corinth to Ephesus. It says, "Now I come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. It may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." Let us pray. Father, as we look into your word today and we see as Paul wrote this letter to 1 Corinthians from Ephesus, the long periods of time he spent in these two places. He said in Ephesus that he preached the gospel day and night with tears for 3 years. And Lord, we've lived now for the years of our lives, and for the time as Christians that we've sought to witness to others and see people saved and do the work of the ministry, we recognize Paul's burden with tears to give the gospel message so people might be saved. We see so many in the world today, Lord, that are caught up in religion or sin or just living life, and they don't know the Lord as their Savior. It is evident by their morals and their decisions. Though clearly we are not their judge, the Word of God reveals truth and error. So help me today as I speak to your people. Comfort them, meet their needs, use the Word of God to help us to grow stronger and closer to you. In Christ's name, amen. Now God moves the Apostle Paul to write of his plans to come back to Corinth from Ephesus. He has been at Corinth in chapter 18 of the book of Acts. And verse 11 says that he was there for 18 months in Corinth. And he had some open doors and he had the problems in the synagogue with the Jews who rejected Christ. And he moved on to Ephesus. In chapter 18, verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue on the Sabbath, persuading the Jews and the Greeks. But when he made a public appeal that Jesus is the Christ, or what the Jewish people would call Messiah, then he found opposition and he made a move. Now, we know that society allows church. It allows us to do benevolent things for the community and for people in need. The Methodist denomination had a campaign for years of open hearts and open doors, welcoming in from the community people regardless of their beliefs or their lifestyle. And now it has almost destroyed their denomination, so they're changing, and there'll be a big vote in May about splitting the Methodist denomination because of same-sex marriage. That issue has become a major concern within their denomination. And they will split the denomination if it goes through and have a more conservative, traditional Methodist church versus whatever the rest of the folks would be termed by. Now, when we preach the Bible, it causes division. Jesus came to save the lost, but he said that would cause division even in a home where one is saved and one is not. Unbelievers reveal themselves by their beliefs, and in our society today, they will allow us to do certain things, but when we start preaching the Bible, the crowd begins to thin and the opposition begins to grow. Now, Paul stayed 18 months in Corinth and left for Ephesus, and he entered the synagogue at Ephesus for 3 months and spoke boldly, but many were hard there, so he moved to a certain school and called the School of Tyrannus, and he preached there daily for 2 years. People were doing their business in the market, and Paul is there every day to preach. And many believed, and many who were involved in witchcraft and cultic practices and horoscopes to determine their lives and all that kind of thing were converted to Christ and brought their wares, the things they used, and burned them. And there was as much as $50,000 worth of things that they burned. And this was very evident that a change had taken place. I had a professor in Bible college who had been a missionary in the Belgian Congo of Africa. And he said that many times in the village areas where they still lived in the grass huts and that sort of thing, had a path down to a river for their survival. He said when they would get saved, they would go into their grass hut and bring out their idols and burn them in the middle of the village in the fire. And he knew the sincerity that it took for them to do that because they were alienated then from some of their family, and there was loss to them of what could be gained by being an idol worshiper. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul is nearing his time of close here at Ephesus. And he writes with a plan. 2020 is already here, and we've probably made some plans of what we're going to do this year. We've said, like Paul, if it's the Lord's will, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Because we know we can't know from day to day when we make plans if we're going to be able to follow through with them or not. Paul understood that, and he said, you know, he desired to come. He was planning to come, but he was planning to stay until Pentecost at Ephesus because a great open door was taking place there, even though there were many adversaries. We need to seek God's face and seek to do the will of God. God has a plan for your life and a plan for my life. He's got a will for us all. He's got a will for the church and how there's coming a day where he's coming in the clouds to take us to heaven to be with him forevermore. And we long for that and look forward to that, even though it brings some apprehension to us about facing the Lord and leaving everything behind. We need to seek the face of the Lord to know his will in our plans. But if you don't make plans, it's like shooting at the sky without aiming at anything. You don't know if you hit anything or not. And aiming a gun is a plan to hit a target. And we have plans for 2020, what we're going to do, what we hope to do. And Paul wanted to stay at Ephesus until Pentecost, but then he wanted to return to Corinth. This book of 1 Corinthians, we call it, a letter or epistle that he wrote unto them, deals with many issues, and he wanted to face them and probably see if they had accepted his decisions and made the changes that needed to be made. And there were many things that affected him seeing them, including his great love for those who had believed. And he says, a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. There was a great work being done. And overall Christianity, there's a great work being done now. Multitudes of people have been saved. Most of you sitting here have been saved within the last 20 or 30 years. Some of you are long-time Christians. You got saved at a young age and you're long in the tooth now, and you've been saved for many, many years. Thank God for that. But as Christians seeking to be very serious about our faith and about our belief in the Bible, we too have many adversaries. There is a great door open to us, and there's always adversaries of the Bible and of Christianity. We have a great opportunity. The world has 7 billion people today. There are sinners everywhere. There's opportunity everywhere there's a sinner. There's opportunity everywhere there's a Christian who has not been discipled and matured for us to help, and an opportunity for us to help them in their life. The door for effective ministry is wide open to us. Like Paul, it may close in one place, but likely as long as we're still here, there's going to open doors in other places. Paul knew firsthand the harm that enemies could cause. Look at the book of 2 Corinthians. You're there in 1 Corinthians 16. Just turn over a page to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse number 8. Second Corinthians 1:8 says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." So Paul was facing things even unto death, and he was looking to God to spare him, and he'd seen God take care of his needs over and over again in the past. He knew firsthand what it was like to face even death. We have an open door for which we should be thankful to God for the blessings that he's given to us here. This church is 40 years of age, and there was no church here before we came. That we've bought land, we've built buildings, all these buildings are paid for. God has blessed us greatly. He has given us a good, strong congregation of people to do the work of the ministry here and to support missionaries around the world. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but God has blessed, and a good work is being done in this church in this opportunity. A great door is opened unto us. We could grow more. Our area is growing rapidly. When I came here 40 years ago, I just graduated from seminary and had the hope to establish a new church. And as we came here looking for a place to meet and that sort of thing, the city of Fort Mill did not have an independent Baptist church at that time. And the city of Fort Mill had 4,000 people. It was predominantly a cotton mill village. Folks worked in the cotton mill. They were in a lower economic level. There were some folks in housing developments that worked in Charlotte in better paying jobs. And you kind of didn't have a middle class of people. You had a lower class and a higher class without a middle class. And 4,000 people. Today they say the population is 19,000 and it's growing daily. Indian land didn't exist. except as a little community called Indian Land. There was a school there, and that's part of Lancaster County, but they used Fort Mill telephone and addresses and mail and all that sort of thing. Well, now it has incorporated into a community of Indian Land, and they have 19,000 people living there in the boundaries of their district. Tigaque has about 10,000 now in population. So all of these people are the traffic problem in our area. and we're growing, and growth has problems. And the same is true with open doors of ministry to all these people. The more we minister, the more we'll also find there are adversaries to what we're doing. We reach people with the gospel of Christ. We reach people with ministry to them. We send forth missions to other nations of people around the world. And it takes workers. It takes people to help minister. It takes people to be involved in the work of the ministry for the great open door that is here. We need to see the opportunity, and we need to see the need, and we need to be willing to do something while we can. We don't know how long the opportunities will last. One real key in serving in the ministry is not to be a casualty because of burnout. Some folks jump in with both feet and they get very involved and they start doing something almost every night of the week involving with the church and the Bible, and the next thing you know, they're out of church and sitting on the sidelines. They've gotten burned out. And there's a danger in that that I warn you of. As I appeal to you to become more involved in the great opportunity that we have, I appeal to you to start small and one-on-one and let God open the door for what you're going to do. Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Opportunity is here for a period of time. Our health is here for a period of time. Our life is here for a period of time. Our opportunity to reach some people is here for a period of time. Jobs may move people away just like jobs have moved people here. And we may have an opportunity to witness to them while they're here now and while we have the health and strength and ability to do it. But we don't know what the future will bring. All know there are limits to our life and our health and our opportunities. The night comes in places and doors close. We have to look for the opportunity to do what we can for God while we can. And I urge people, if you're not actively involved in an area of ministry as a Christian, that you get involved in 2020, but that you start small. You don't take on a lion's share. Because it's like eating an elephant. You think, how could you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's how you'd eat an elephant. I told you the story about my wife and I. In the early days of our marriage, we built a home and we got us a deep freezer. And we decided we're going to buy some beef and put in there. And somebody knew where we could get. We could buy half of a steer. Probably 700, 800 pound steer. And it would be killed and the meat would be cut up and we'd get every kind of steaks and chuck roast and hamburger and all of that, you know. And so we bought half of a cow and we filled up the freezer completely. We had to put some in the house refrigerator freezer because it was more meat than our little freezer could hold. And we thought, wow, we'll never eat all of this. And then one day we reached down in the bottom of the deep freeze to get the last pack of meat that was in there, you know. We did eat it, little by little by little over a period of time. And that's the way you have to do the work of the ministry. You have to go small. You have to take baby-sized bites because you can get choked real quick. You can get burned out real quick. You can face enemies real quick, and it can be discouraging if you're not prepared for it. Secondly, we believe in the imminent return of Christ, that he could come at any time. He could come in 2020. He could come today before I get through preaching. Some of you say, I praise God for that. Romans 13 says, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We're closer to the Lord coming in the clouds today than we were when we got saved. But we're to be like farmers. We're not to put on a sheet and sit in the woods and wait for Jesus to come. We're to be like farmers. We continue to plow the ground. We continue to fight the weeds. We continue to plant the crops. We continue to expect a harvest to come. And a harvest is going to come when Jesus comes and takes us to heaven to be with Him forevermore. While we have the opportunity, we need to keep planting the seeds and doing the work that God would have us to do. Jesus told His disciples to look out on the fields for their white already to harvest. He said the problem is not the harvest, the problem is the laborers. As I said, there are sinners everywhere with 7 billion people living on this planet. There are needs everywhere. There are opportunities everywhere. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So I urge you to step up in 2020 and be a laborer for Christ. Find a place of service. Find a place of opportunity. Find a place of influence, because the world needs you, and they need what you have and what you know, and you can share it with them. Nobody expects you to do it all, but you can do a little. You can start where you are with your family, teaching your children and training your children. Your children need to grow up with a moral compass learned at the feet of their parents from the Bible rather than from the public government school. Because I promise you, the philosophy that invades secular society's education system will corrupt the morals of your family if you allow it to take place. Now you're saying, I have to put my children in a Christian education? If you can afford to, that'd be wonderful, but I know everybody can't afford that. But that means you've got to spend extra time with your kids when they come home about what they've learned and what they're being exposed to and what you need to train them and teach them. We need to step up and speak up and see the needs around us and make an attempt to do something for God by sharing the Word of God with other people. Thirdly, be aware there are many adversaries. In Paul's day, it was idol worshipers, religious zealots from the Jewish faith, false teachers, the cultic practices with the living by the horoscopes, and not just in a joking way, reading something that's in the paper, but planning their lives by the stars and that sort of thing. Time is an enemy we face. The demands on our time are great. Some of you feel like you don't have enough time to do anything else more than what you're already doing. A job, a career, an education, it takes time for those things, and they're a great priority in your family. But never forget God is to be preeminent, first place above everything else. Every organization that you will be involved with in any way, from your work to anything in the social strata, wants you to be totally devoted unto them. I've always admired the time it takes and the effort it put forth in high school bands. I was the chaplain for the Fort Mill High School football team for 5 years, and I would see the bands over there. They'd be there at 7 o'clock in the morning practicing their marching band before they went to school that day, and then after school when we were having football practice, they'd be having band practice. And they put in a lot of effort. They had to buy the uniforms. Their parents had to take them to the games. And many parents volunteered to load up all those instruments and haul them to the games and back and set up platforms and all that kind of thing. The band wanted them to be totally devoted to them as if they didn't have anything else to do with the rest of their time. And many organizations are like that. We've got to make time for God. We've got to make time for the church. We've got to make time for the Word. There's so many things that hinder us. In 2020, We need to remind ourselves it's important that we put God first. Let's give Him the first day of the week, which is Sunday. That's the Lord's day. If your job cooperates with you not having to work on Sunday, then don't look at Sunday as your day to do what you want to do. Look at it as the Lord's day that He deserves to be worshiped. He deserves first place in our heart. Colossians says Christ is to be preeminent, meaning first place above everything else. Jerry Falwell came out with those pins. I got a pin on today. I got this on because my brother who was in Vietnam here gave it to me. He ordered some for himself with 1970 on it, and they sent him some with 1969, so he knew I was there in 69, so he gave me a pin. Thank you, D. You put on a pin. Jerry Falwell came out with a pin called Jesus First. If you notice, that's still on our sign out here. Jesus First. Not because of Jerry Falwell, but because we want folks to believe we need to put Jesus first in our life. First moments of our day, we ought to devote to the Lord. I know it's tough to get up. The older you get, it doesn't get any easier. Instead of getting out of bed in the morning when you get my age, you resurrect from the dead in the morning when you get out of bed. And you drag yourself into the kitchen and turn the coffee pot on, and you drink a cup of coffee, and you drag around for a little while. That's why you better start getting up a little bit earlier if you're going to get out of the house at a certain time, get to work by a certain time. And still, we need to take time to read our scripture and ask God to guide our day and think on the things that are good and right and pure and holy, and ask the Lord's blessing for our family and protection as we go out into the world. We give God the first of our money. God expects us to give to Him the tithe, and He expects that to be the first thing that we consider. The first tenth is His. We give Him the first place in service for our talents and our abilities. It should be the Lord that we spend time serving and pleasing and wanting to do what we can for Him. There's a great importance that we're a witness to other people. Look back in your life and remember who told you about the Lord. I'm not saying who led you to Christ, because you probably didn't get saved the first time somebody talked to you about the Lord. I worked at a McGuire nuclear plant. Some guys in the crew that were welders were Christians, and they gave me gospel tracts to read and witnessed to me, told me about their churches, and some of them were real zealous, and I didn't respond to that very well at all. One guy, he had my number. Jim Tessner lives over in Shelby, North Carolina. The Wheels, y'all know him, don't you? He's a great guy. He had my number. I'd say something smart, and he'd say, here's the Bible, look it up. I'd say, it don't say that in the Bible. He'd say, well, look it up and see if it does or not. I went to him one day. I said, where's that mark of the beast, 666? I don't know where that is. He handed me the Bible. He said, it's in the book of Revelation. I took a break and read the whole book of Revelation until I found it. And God started working in my heart. I was under conviction. I was a heavy drinker. Every day when we got off work, I'd stop at the store, go in and buy beer. I'd still go in and buy beer, but I'd look out in the parking lot to see if any of those Christian guys was out there before I went outside. I started to feel guilty about my sin before I even got saved. That's called conviction. God was working in my heart. I didn't even know what it was, but it was the conviction of the Spirit of God. And the Lord saved my wife and I at a church, but all the work that went into our lives about getting saved had come from other people who had been a witness to us before that day happened. You can be a witness to someone. You can talk to somebody. We talk to people about everything. Some of you watched ball games yesterday. I stayed up last night until New England got beat. And I was happy about that, I'll be honest with you. And they're a great team, great quarterback, great coach, but I like to see them get knocked off. And they did. I used to be for the Panthers and whoever was playing New England. But I stayed up. I watched two football games yesterday. And it made me stay up later than I usually do. Well, you know, if I talk to somebody today about the ball game, why don't I talk about Jesus? I have a friend that worked at a nuclear plant, and he was an avid Christian. He said, his boss told him, said, you're going to stop preaching to all these guys. You know, they're complaining about it. He said, look, they want to talk about drinking beer and running around doing all. He said, when it's my turn to talk, I'm going to talk about the Lord. And his boss said, well, I can't say much about that. I guess that's true. We can talk about Jesus. We can tell people, you know something, you talk to some friend that's a little religious or not or whatever, you ask them this question. What do you believe about they talk about the Lord coming back to take people to heaven. What do you think about that? What do you know about that? You know, our church teaches that. I could talk to you about that a little bit. I could tell you some things about that. A lot of people have questions about that, and a lot of churches don't teach people the Bible truth about that. And you probably could if you take the time to do that. Be a witness for Christ. Jesus taught parables where the master goes away and leaves his servants with responsibilities. And he said, when I return, I will reward you if you're faithful. Well, Jesus has left. He's given us a job to do. And he's coming again. And he will reward those who are faithful unto him. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, the scripture teaches, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You say, well, I really don't know what to say and what to do. You don't have to know. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The word of God is quick. That means it's living, powerful. It has great authority. It is able to do surgery with a scalpel into the heart, dividing the joint and the marrow. It can change lives. The word can get inside, and people aren't satisfied till they come to the Lord. I've seen people stand up in the invitation in this church and hold on to the pew in front of them because God was dealing with them and they were scared. They didn't want to come forward. And then I've actually seen some people come down that aisle at a rapid pace because the Holy Spirit had a hold of their heart and they wanted to get saved. They knew they were going to hell and they needed to be saved. We know people are going to hell. We should be telling them how they can be saved. We're knocking on people's doors to tell them their house is on fire and we can help you to get out. We know the way. Let's do that in 2020. Let's ask God to help us do that. And let's start right where we are. Let's stand together, please. Father, we thank you for your word. We love you and praise you. We worship you today in our songs of praise. We've worshiped you in the giving of our offerings. We've worshiped you by sitting and listening to the Word of God as it's been expounded. And now we worship you in prayer. We ask for you to intervene in our hearts today. May Christ be glorified and magnified. And may you be revealed to those that have the need for salvation today before they leave this place. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.